Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Shukran for having me.
Always good to have you on at the start of 2026. I know it's only my second day back. Professor, I trust you had a couple of days just to take a break. I know the last time I spoke to you, end of December, you were busy moving house. Has everything been settled now?
A little more settled, definitely. But I'm glad also, I also started the, you know, I'm back in the office this week. So I'm glad to be back in the swing of things because there's only so much holiday one can take, to be honest.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, Professor, a lot of focus has been, and rightly so, on the illegal kidnapping of President Nicolas Maduro and his wife. Literally, the sovereignty of Venezuela was attacked by the United States. So a lot of focus has gone and centered around what has transpired and what continues to happen. Also, the beating drums of war. The United States talking about an attack on the Islamic Republic of Iran. The protests continuing, but the IRGC coming forward with credible evidence that a lot of these protests and unrest were stoked by foreign entities seeking to destabilize the Iranian government. They are failing, according to many reports, because now we see millions of Iranians taking to the streets supporting their country. You've mentioned months ago on the show one of the reasons why Iran is experiencing the difficulties that it has been experiencing. It's as a result of the sanctions and the boycotts imposed on the U.S., but imposed by the U.S. administration on Iran and the European Union. So consequently, Iran has been struggling for a number of years. But while the focus is on all of that, we cannot forget the ongoing genocide in the occupied territories.
Of course, we've reverted, and I've said this before, back to a case of a incremental genocide. Which is as bad as a full-blown genocide that the Palestinians have experienced over the last 2 years. It is a slow genocide. Does not. I think it was this morning, a bit of a clash in Rafah, which resulted in the assassination of six Palestinians. The Israelis claimed those are Hamas fighters and so on who crossed past that so-called imaginary yellow line. We've seen many buildings being bombed and so on, that these are so-called Hamas operatives that are trying to regroup and so on, the usual. So it's important to know that the genocide has not ended, and we should not, lose focus from this. There's genocide by various means. One of the means, as someone was pointing out, is this continued desire to ban UNRWA in the occupied Palestinian territories, because that is tied to the very existence of Palestinians as refugees. Now, if you take that together with the genocide, what we are seeing is just a slow form of ethnic cleansing, a slow form of genocide, and we have to continue to exacerbate and to increase our solidarity efforts to ensure that, now that the news cycle has kind of moved on to some extent, that we do not ensure that it's totally invisible.
So, Professor, while the world may be focusing, and rightly so, on the attack of sovereignty on Venezuela as a country, the kidnapping of its president and first lady, the focus also pretty much on statements made by Netanyahu late in December that his regime officially recognizes Somaliland. We saw credible evidence and documents being brought to the fore by the Somali foreign minister indicating that the reason for the Zionist entity recognizing Somaliland as a sovereign nation, I put that in air quotes, because we all know the truth behind that. It's now to give the Zionist entity a foothold on the African continent and predominantly the Horn of Africa. They're very close to the Straits, Bab al-Mandes, which means for them to attack Ansarullah will be that much easier. And then also now to have a foothold on the African continent and then to forcefully remove Palestinians from the occupied territories and send them off to Somaliland. So while the focus has pretty much been on all of this, we cannot forget the ongoing genocide. As you mentioned, little to no aid continues to enter the besieged enclave, and the illegal settlements that continue to pop up all over in the occupied West Bank as well.
Yes, you know, of course, you know, we cannot forget that everything that you have just stated is interrelated.
Yes.
You know, the football, in the issue of the genocide of Palestinians is linked to Somaliland. That came up in media reports last year that of a destination for Palestinian refugees who are going to be ethnically cleansed from Gaza. So, and of course, now an Israeli military base in Somaliland means that Ansarullah is within striking distance. We might understand that Ansarullah, the Houthis, as they're sometimes called, were the major thorn in the side of the Israelis, despite American assistance, despite Israeli attacks on ports in Yemen and stuff. The Houthis continue to fire on the port of Eilat and so on, amongst many other ports, amongst other parts of so-called Israel, even Ben Gurion Airport. So these things are all interrelated, and the genocide of the Palestinian Gaza, you know, we must also not forget about the genocide of Palestinians in the West Bank. I mean, it is a very incremental genocide, and it's a really slow form of torture in the West Bank. Because West Bank Palestinians are given a little more. You know, it's like apartheid in South Africa. You know, you had different Indians had a little more, benefits than coloreds. Coloreds had a little more benefit than our indigenous blacks. It's the same in Palestine. It's the West Bank Palestinians have a little more privileges. They're seen a little more human than Gaza. So, but at the same time, that genocide is still ongoing, you know, which brings us back to what I mentioned, UNRWA. Because UNRWA, the very existence of UNRWA means that the idea of Palestinian refugees will exist. And that's what Israel is trying to do. It's trying to kill this idea of Palestinians being refugees, which were kicked out in 1948 and 1967. So we have to counter, and community media has this very important role to counter this idea of the new cycle moving on, and to continuously bring it up every day, every few days, to ensure that the plight of the Palestinians is not forgotten. Because now we've got Venezuela, as you pointed out, that is every day on the news. We've got Greenland, which is back on the news when it comes to Trump and his desires to, just carry on as if, we just go and take out a president from one country, take over another territory, which we can do at will because we are a global superpower and there's realistically no one that can going to stop us. It is all of these things that are really related and which we cannot forget about because, you know, as much as we'd love to move on, the problem is we can never move on until Palestinians are free, and that's what we constantly strive on a daily basis.
So now, a couple of days ago, UN Chief Antonio Guterres, he warned he could refer, an emphasis on he could refer, the Israeli entity to the ICJ over laws targeting UNRWA, as you mentioned. So this report was noted pretty much in a January 8th letter to Netanyahu. Guterres said that the UN cannot remain indifferent to actions taken by Israel, which are in direct contravention of the obligations that the Israeli regime faces under international law. So if we read that, yes, it's in compliance with international law and so-called international standards. But what has been transpiring over the last 2 years has made us seriously question, what is international law actually? Does it actually exist? And then it brings us in back to the point, is this blowing hot air? And here we're saying these words coming from Antonio Guterres. What is this actually going to do, Professor?
You took the words out of my mouth there. Guterres is attempting a bark. He's attempting to show that his bark is bigger than his bite, or louder than his bite. If he could have done this in October 2024 when Israel first banned UNRWA in operating in Israel within the Israeli entity. He could have done it then. He could have, you know, overtly supported the case of South Africa at the ICJ. And to the best of my recollection, he hasn't done that. You know, the UN, which ultimately bears responsible for the crimes of the Israeli entity, because it acceded to the recognition of the of Israel after the Nakba. And interestingly enough, it recognized Israel. Israel is the only state in the world that doesn't have clearly defined borders, which is why it wants to expand its so-called borders. Mm. It does not have internationally recognized borders. It never had at the time of recognition. They tried to do that in 1967 after the Six-Day War. So the UN chief is merely just blowing hot air. He really acts any enforcement mechanisms. He relies on, you know, the P5 within the Security Council, which acts as de facto enforcers. And we all know that's not going to happen, given that the United States is such a staunch ally and protector of the State of Israel. So this ultimately is attempts to appease, at least through, you know, media channels, the outcry from many parts of the world and so on, of the UN's inefficiency in holding Israel account. Because Israel was admitted as a member of the UN on a number of conditions. And one of those conditions was Palestinians be granting statehood and so on, and having the right to self-determination. That has not been allowed. Mm. So ultimately, this is much ado about nothing. And I wouldn't, you know, put up any hope of Guterres, you know, having another case at the ICJ. It's just, I cannot see it happening anytime.
Globally, over the last couple of years, Professor, it certainly is a dystopian world that we are experiencing. We are wishful, we are hopeful, but the way the trajectory is moving, and as it stands, we anticipate that things could even become worse than what it is now. The scant regard, complete disrespect for international law, etc. Is this truly what the Zionist entity then possibly wants? Perhaps leading to the complete collapse and dissolution of international law and the complete collapse of the United Nations as a so-called international hierarchy, and this infrastructure no longer exists to make way for what is to come in the future, which could possibly be in the near future. Certainly looks as if we're heading in that direction.
Yeah, you know, I am as, you know, in that sense, I agree with you in terms of what you're saying. International law, I wouldn't say is dying. I would say it's already dead. Because ultimately, it was never meant to protect anyone else in the world but white Europeans. The Holocaust was a genocide of white Europeans. And it and international law conceived after 1945 was meant to ensure that none of this happens again on European soil. So it was, and it was weakly, you know, transposed to around the world to say that these are universal, such as Universal Declaration of Human Rights and so on. But we know that that exists merely on paper. International law is dead. I mean, if a president can of the United States can go and abduct in the middle of the night a president of another country on trumped-up narco-terrorism charges, and now threaten Greenland and Iran by the Islamic Republic of Iran, as you pointed out at the beginning, which is undergoing some really difficult times as a result of the U.S. sanctions. If he can threaten invasions after invasions and, you know, seizure of territory after seizure of territory, and realistically, let's ask this question. It's a rhetorical question. Who is going to hold him to account? Guterres, I definitely not going to hold the United States to account. It's a P5 member. It's a permanent member of the United States Security Council. So international law is not dying. It was never intended by design to protect anyone in the global south. It was merely meant to protect white Europeans and those in the global north.